Is it possible to have a real, sweeping, moral, cultural reformation in America? I say the answer is absolutely yes.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I want to stand today as a witness. January 21st, 2013, it is the inauguration, second term of President Barack Obama, but that's not where my focus is going to be. My focus is on King Jesus, Lord Jesus. And my focus, even though we'll talk about America, is not so much America, but the kingdom of God, what God is doing. My focus today is not on Martin Luther King Day. My focus is on moral, cultural reformation, but some of the things that Dr. King stood for in his day relate to some of the things on my heart for our day. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Maybe your schedule's changed today and you're getting to listen for the first time. Welcome to this broadcast, which by God's grace does serve as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We are absolutely serious about that. Not revolution the way the world fights. Not anger and hatred and intimidation and rage, but rather following the principles of Jesus and overcoming evil with good and overcoming hatred with love and overcoming the fierce forces of this world and the decadent tidal wave of this society with the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. I've got a question for you, and then I want to stand as a witness for the next 2 hours. So if you catch 10 minutes or 2 hours, I believe every word will be important. I want to ask you a question today. I will give my witness. I will share my perspective. But I want to ask you, in your gut, do you genuinely believe that we can see a radical, gospel-based, moral, and cultural reformation in America in this generation? Let me ask that again, 866-348-7884, or on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. In your gut, do you genuinely believe that we can see a radical, gospel-based, moral, and cultural reformation in America in this generation? What do you feel, if you're a follower of Jesus, what do you feel in your gut? I've been reading a lot of comments that have been posted already on Facebook where people say absolutely no. Others say yes, but quite a few, absolutely no. My gut says no. My heart says yes. My gut says no. No, not at all. I'm just looking at these things. I understand the reason for pessimism. Look, the main reason that America is in the moral and spiritual malaise that it's in is because so much of the church is in a moral and spiritual malaise. The main reason we have so much division in our society and so much moral chaos in our society and we are in such miserable moral spiritual condition in America is largely because it reflects the state of so much of the church. I understand that. And I understand that so much of the American gospel has departed deeply from the biblical gospel and is more a gospel of personal empowerment than a gospel of take up the cross and be a disciple of Jesus. And I know in the natural that things really look bleak. In the natural, I could fully understand it if you call in and say, in my gut, I just don't see it. And yet, against hope, and I should say, against natural inclinations and instincts, and against the evidence we have in our society, I believe that we could see something very radical, Jesus-glorifying, nation-shaking happen in our lifetimes. Remember where we start. Is that we serve the God who raised Jesus from the dead. That's where we start. We start with resurrection hope. So I want to give you some of my personal story today. I've done this at different times on the air. I want to tell different parts of it today. But part of why I believe that we could really see a radical Jesus revolution in our generation in America.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here once more is my question for you. In your gut, do you genuinely believe that we can see a radical, gospel-based moral and cultural reformation in America in this generation? 866-348-7884. Yeah, tomorrow is an infamous day, 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. I saw a quote at our church service at Fire yesterday morning from Francis Schaeffer that abortion clinics remain open by the permission of the church. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But let me say again in the natural, I understand why you can look at the state of America and be very skeptical. You can look at the state of America and find more evidence, perhaps, for end-time apostasy and preparing the way for world deception and the Antichrist than you can see for moral and cultural reformation. Yet I want to stand as a witness today. I've been walking with the Lord now for more than 41 years. I'm 57 years old, about to turn 58 in less than 2 months. I had to think about that to make sure I had that right. I want to stand as a witness. There's something about the power of personal testimony. And by the way, part of my witness ties in with the fact that I'm speaking to you right now, that I'm speaking to you right now on radio, and you're listening on WAVA in D.C., or you're listening on WLIX on Long Island, or you're listening on WMCA in New York and New Jersey, or you're listening on WEZE in Boston, or you're listening on WHIM in Miami. Part of the fact that I'm on the radio speaking to you today ties in with this witness I want to give. But there is tremendous power to personal testimony. I mean, there's certain things that we know that we know. There's that old saying that some things are better caught than taught. They're better felt than telt. You remember the account in John the 4th chapter when the Samaritan woman encounters Jesus the Messiah and goes and tells her friends and neighbors. Then they come and hear him and they say, now we believe. Not because you said so, but because we heard him for ourselves. You know the account of the man born blind, healed by Jesus in John the 9th chapter, and the religious leaders are challenging this Jewish man. And what about this and what about that? And is he a sinner because he did this on the Sabbath? And the blind man says, look, I can't answer all your theological questions, but this much I know. I was blind, now I see. There's something to the power of personal testimony. I got saved the end of 1971. December 17th of 71 was the night of surrender, experiencing God's joy and grace and goodness in such an extraordinarily rich, overflowing way, and having been convicted of the depth of my sin, shooting heroin and just leading an ungodly, proud, sinful life. I told the Lord that night, I'll never put a needle in my arm again. I surrendered, and my life was so radically transformed. And in the months that followed, I can't tell you exactly when, but in the months that followed, and as I was now walking with the Lord for months and going on to a year, I clearly felt a calling to preach the gospel. I clearly felt a calling to publicly proclaim the message of Jesus. I witnessed to people every day without fail, shared the gospel with at least one new person every day without fail, spent hours alone with the Lord every day in the word and prayer. But I had this vision, an internal vision, just saw myself preaching to crowds. Now, crowds in those days could have been 300 or 400 people. In other words, the church where I came to know the Lord was small. Maybe you could pack a little over 100 people into the building. An average service during the week, you know, might have 30, 40, 50 people at a night service. And Sunday, you'd fill it maybe with 100 or so people. But I saw myself preaching to crowds of people. It burned within me. And when I first preached August 21st of 1973, the message kind of exploded out of me. I probably preached a 45 to 1 hour message in 45 minute to 1 hour message in about 20 minutes. It just exploded out of me. I remember after I preached, the pastor got up and said, if Mike Brown is not called to preach, no one's called to preach. I mean, this thing was just on me, but I would see myself preaching to maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And I would see people repenting and turning to the Lord. it was something that was just in me. It had nothing to do with a personal desire or an ambition, because my ambition before that had been to be a rock star, to be a great rock drummer and high on drugs and living a decadent lifestyle. That had been my vision and goal before I got saved. Now this was just burning in me in an overwhelming way, this sense of calling to preach. And I would see myself in my mind's eye just preaching to crowds of people. As I said, crowds could have just been a few hundred in my vision then, because of the smallness of my surroundings. But that's what I saw. Who would have known that I could look back now in the year 2013 and say that I've had the grace and privilege to preach to crowds of up to 300,000 people, that I've preached to crowds of people in countries like India and seen thousands of people running to the altar to repent and get right with God, that I've had the privilege of preaching in some of the most prestigious settings in America and around the world and seen thousands of people responding to the message, that I've had the privilege of preaching overseas, several thousand messages just overseas alone, and all different crowd settings in America and the nations, with so many repenting and turning to God. Friends, you say, okay, but what's that got to do with moral cultural reformation in America? Let me say this. Over the years, there have been a few major things that have burned in my heart. A few major things that have been so deep inside of me that the more time I spend with God, the more the fire burns. You know what I'm talking about? Some things you just know that you know you can't get away from. Some things that are as real to you as the nose on your face. Some things that are just undeniable. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what Paul wrote in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 16th verse. And there are certain things you just know that you know that you know, aren't there? And some of these things having to do with calling inside of me have been so deep and so overwhelming at times. The calling to preach and the masses of people that would be touched through the message. And now by God's grace, seeing spiritual sons and daughters around the world, in some cases literally preaching to millions, that calling, a calling to raise up a school and send out thousands of radical disciples to the nations, a promise from the Lord that I would be in the midst of a revival that would touch the world, a calling from God to be on the front lines of Jewish witness and apologetics and debating the rabbis. I have seen many of these things come to pass, some in full, some in part, over these last 41 years. And the same God who spoke those things to me some years back, a decade plus back, the same God who spoke these other things to me began speaking to me about moral and cultural revolution in America. Remember Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and follow me." God speaks to us. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I've never heard the external voice of God. But I've heard his internal voice many times, just as you have as well if you've walked with the Lord. He speaks to us in different ways. But it's that voice in the inside of us that is so clear and so undeniable as we walk with him. The same God who put these other things in my heart, just like David could say before fighting Goliath, the same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear when he was a shepherd, he killed the lion, he killed the bear with God's help. That's the same God who's going to deliver me from Goliath. The same God who promised these other things to me, put it in my heart. I can't guarantee this. I'm just giving you my personal witness that there would be a sweeping moral and cultural revolution in America that would be just as dramatic as the civil rights movement that transformed America a generation ago, especially under the leadership of Dr. King. That somehow I would see this and I would get to be on the front lines of it. In the natural, it seems hopeless, friends. In the natural, it seems we've lost a generation. In the natural, it seems too late. And yet I want to stand as a witness and say it is not too late. Oh, I'm talking about something that could really shake America that will be very, very radical. But I want to declare it's not too late. And as I would pray about these issues, it would come back to me time and again. You will see a moral and cultural revolution in America, and you will be on national talk radio. Friends, if you knew the whole story of how it is that I'm speaking to you today on national talk radio, you'd step back and say, looks like God might be up to something. Stay with us. You will be encouraged.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A few days ago, John Hawkins posted on townhall.com the 40 greatest quotes from Winston Churchill. I printed them out right before the show today, but perhaps this is for someone there. Winston Churchill said this. I don't quote him as a noted Christian leader, but a noted political leader. He said this: if you are going through hell, keep going. Maybe that's for some of you there. If you're going through hell, keep going. 866-348-7884. Friends, I stand as a witness today and say the God who saved me and the God who promised me that I would see and experience certain things in my lifetime is the same God who I believe has put within my heart the promise national moral and cultural awakening. You say, well, if it doesn't happen, you're a false prophet. No, I'm not prophesying it. I'm simply telling you what I believe. I'm simply telling you that as dark as things are, and in the natural, as hopeless as they are in terms of national repentance and national change and an awakening that would actually have a cultural impact, I believe the witness of God in my life. And as I said to you a moment ago, the same God that promised me other things that I have seen, I've experienced. Look, when I got saved, I didn't know anything. I had no background. The little Hebrew I had learned when I was bar mitzvahed, I had forgotten by the time I was saved a few years later. I was not some scholar. I was not the top of my class in high school. In fact, I could care less about classes in those days. When it started to get in my heart once I got into Jewish ministry that God would raise me up to be on the front lines of Jewish apologetics, I didn't know that I'd end up writing 5 volumes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus that have become, by God's grace and all to his glory, the textbooks that I would have debated prominent rabbis and counter missionaries several dozen times, and that it's very, very difficult for us to find anyone to have a public debate. I didn't know that. And yet it was in my heart that it would happen. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God and God's purposes. So I stand here, friends, as a witness. And I want to tell you that as difficult as things are in our society today on a moral and spiritual level, as much complacency and backsliding as you see in the church today, as much moral compromise as there is in the church, as much as our society has lost its way, come on, when we have the level of illegitimacy that we have, when we're looking now at 55 million babies killed in the womb over a 40-year period, and the church is not sufficiently awakened to bring about a sweeping change in that regard, and we're still talking about it 40 years later, in the natural, you could say, how can we ever find our way back? Or how can there ever be an awakening that would have such an effect on society that many of the social ills we know of would become the exception to the rule? That we wouldn't have more people being murdered in Chicago than in the midst of war in Afghanistan? In the natural, It's over for America. In the natural, we have collapsed, and there's no way back. In the natural, but with God, all things are possible. You say, how's it going to happen? I believe it's going to happen first with a remnant who says enough is enough, and who determines that they can't live without visitation, that they can't live without a move of God, and that others will then have something begin to stir in their heart as they become convicted and realize something's wrong, and that even society as a whole will begin to say, well, something is profoundly wrong. How did we end up here? How did we end up in this situation? How did we end up in a situation where sexual desire and romantic attraction trumps religious freedoms and freedom of speech and conscience? How do we get there? How do we get to the place where 41% of all babies conceived in America or in New York are aborted, and where first-time moms are having more kids out of wedlock than in wedlock? How do we get to that point? How do we get to the point of being the world leader in exporting pornography and violent movies and on and on? How did that happen? That somehow there will be awakening. God is the only one that can do it. God is the only one that can bring it about. But all he needs is a remnant who are determined to take hold of God and not turn back. And I want to speak to you as a witness. In the next hour and a half, I want to give you specific incidences that will encourage your heart. Things that I've seen so far, so you can judge this for yourself, whether I'm just some religious loony talking on the air and you know, it's just a lot of air, it's just a lot of hot air, it's just a lot of wishful thinking, or whether the same witness burns in your heart as burns in my heart. Look, I just came back from Hong Kong teaching the book of Jeremiah there for a week to Chinese pastors and students from the mainland. I've written a commentary on Jeremiah. Jeremiah for 40 years warned his nation and saw the nation not heed and saw all of the terrible judgments he prophesied come to pass. Every one of them. He did not live to see the promised restoration. But friends, the restoration did happen. And the new covenant that he prophesied was inaugurated. And it is what we are experiencing today. All right. I want to give a twofold appeal to each of you listening to me right now. If you can stand with us with a one-time gift, I want to send you, as my token of appreciation, my gift, Revolution. Revolution, the Call to Holy War. It's the Jesus call to change the world. I want to send you a signed copy of that. That's one of the promises that tie in with Moral Culture Revolution. Even the writing of that book and the supernatural distribution of it, we gave away over 70,000 copies of it the day it was published, if you can believe that. And we did it at the mall in D.C. with several hundred thousand young people there, right where President Obama celebrated his second inauguration today. I want to send you that free for your gift of any size. Those who can become monthly torchbearers, I want to do something very special. Our torchbearers support us with at least $25 or more per month. We send you a new message every month, a new special prayer update. We give you access to all of our online classes for free, as well as a 15% discount in our online bookstore. We have some collector volumes for you. It's The Real Kosher Jesus in hardback, numbered copies. Our friends helped pre-order these special numbered copies that I signed to get the book printed. We still have some left from the first few hundred that were numbered. My special gift to you, if you become a torchbearer today, will be a signed numbered copy of The Real Kosher Jesus. Those are otherwise unavailable to the public. Call to stand with us as a monthly supporter or with your one-time gift, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, click on support. Hey, friends, this is a way that we can stand together in a moral and cultural revolution in Jesus' name. Again, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Much more encouragement coming your way.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nations. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. I am standing as a witness. I'm giving you part of my own personal story, some of my own personal history over the last 41 years, and why, against all evidence, I believe there could truly be a sweeping moral and cultural reformation in America in our generation, an awakening to God's standards, an awakening to God's ways, an awakening to the knowledge of God, consciousness of God. Oh, I don't mean the whole nation being saved, but I mean a turning. Just as we've seen a turning away, I believe we could see a turning to. In your gut, tell me honestly, what do you feel? 866-348-7884. In your gut, do you feel America's just heading down for the count? Or in your gut, do you have hope and expectation that a change is going to come to the nation? Hey, there could be an economic and moral collapse that brings it about. There could be a catastrophe. I'm not looking for that, God forbid. But it could be that we have some other kind of collapse before awakening comes. Let me go to the phones with a special friend from Brooklyn. Sarah, it's great to hear from you. God bless you.
God bless you. And my gut testimony, a miracle that I pinch myself every morning. My birthday, 1924, 88 years old, I had a pain in my heart. A sensation. I closed my eyes. I had a quick vision. Open up, open up. Happy birthday, open. Party, birthday cake. Who am I? I don't know. I'm Jesus. I'm your birthday present after 88 years old and teaching the Old Testament for 32 years and very shortly after I was baptized. This is my testimony, dear audience and dear Dr. Brown. Yes, yes, in my gut feeling, if this can happen, tears are coming through my little eyes. It can happen to anybody, and I'm preparing for my ministry. Jesus has given me an assignment, and I'm getting material through the awesome Dr. Brown. Yes, yes, in my gut feeling, it can happen to me. These words should go out as sparks to the universe right now. It can happen to you. Amen and hallelujah.
Sarah, amen and hallelujah is absolutely right. And here you've lived all these years as an Orthodox Jew, and completely to your surprise and shock, Jesus makes himself real to you on your 88th birthday last summer. You're absolutely right, Sarah. If God can do that for you, he can do that for another Jewish person or Gentile person. He can do it for 100, 1,000, 1,000,000. So, Sarah, let's continue to believe God no matter what our eyes see and no matter what society says. Let's continue to believe God for awakening among our Jewish people and in the whole nation. Amen?
Amen and hallelujah.
God bless you, Sarah. Thank you for the call. I'll never forget the first time Sarah called us last year, and we heard her absolutely amazing testimony. That's another thing I've expected, that in the Orthodox Jewish community, we'll have people just like Sarah, miracles just like Sarah, eyes being opened in the most supernatural ways, from the most learned rabbi in Brooklyn to the most secular Jew meditating and smoking pot, Jesus, Yeshua appearing, and radical salvations coming. Friends, we serve an almighty God. Let's not sell him short in our thinking. With man, everything I'm talking about today is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I'm going to share more of my witness with you when we come back. I believe your heart will be stirred.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, so I don't forget, make sure you check out my article, Lessons from the Lance Armstrong Fiasco. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and you'll see a link to my latest article. 866-348-7884. Let me share a very personal, important part of my own witness today. A counter-missionary rabbi asked the other day, we were interacting via email, and he said, why is it you believers in Jesus just share your witness at the drop of a hat? And I said, well, it's part of who we are to share our story. I mean, the Hebrew scriptures recount over and over and over again what God did for our people Israel in the Exodus and various other works of God. It's recounted over and over. And Peter in the New Testament, when he was being pressed to shut up and stop speaking, he said, we have to testify. We can only speak what we've seen and heard. It's just part of who we are to bear witness. And it's part of Israel's calling as a nation, part of the church's calling as a people of God to bear witness to the great acts of God, to bear witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus. I want to bear witness on a personal level today to the faithfulness of God and encourage you that although in the natural there is no hope of a moral and cultural revolution in our generation, in the natural everything says more declension, more apostasy, more darkness, more moral confusion, more deterioration of the family. In the natural, even though that's where so many indicators point in God, I have hope. Look, being a believer is counterintuitive. You know what I'm saying? Being a believer, often you see one thing with your eyes and you still believe God. I don't mean we live in denial. I mean we believe God. When people say it's hopeless and God says there's hope, then we believe God. I mentioned last half hour some quotes from Winston Churchill. I printed up. John Hawkins posted these on townhall.com a couple days ago, the 40 greatest quotes from Winston Churchill. Churchill said, success is not final, failure is not fatal, it is the courage to continue that counts. And then he said this, success consists of going to from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. That sounds like a faith principle. Success consists of going to failure, from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Let me tell you another reason that I believe that we are going to see a moral and cultural revolution. Even as I say it, my mind says, you're crazy, it's not going to happen. But let me tell you why I still believe it. When I was saved for a few years and began to preach, my heart really burned to see God move among his people. I didn't know that we would call it revival or awakening, but that's what I burned to see masses of God's people turning to him in repentance and then lost being saved. But there was always this burden for wake-up call in the church. Well, after some years, once Nancy and I were married, had our first child, I was working a secular job, going to grad school. I got so consumed with my studies. I got so into Near Eastern languages and literature and the biblical studies that came out of it. We were involved in a church that was rich in good works, sponsoring refugees in our home, standing for pro-life, helping the poor in our communities. We were rich in good works. We were doing so much and yet really lacking in the power and presence of God. And in my own life, I was gradually backsliding from my first love, backsliding from that first intimacy with the Lord. And I can only say that even though we were committed, serious believers, I had really left my first love. I got caught up in a lot of intellectualism and theological pride. It doesn't have to happen that way. It's just what happened with me. And as 1982 came around, some people close to me were really praying for God to awaken the fire in my life again. God brought me through deep repentance, and I experienced personal revival. And then through that, it spread to many others in our church. And we really had a move of the Spirit where where many were truly repenting and turning to God and spending hours with him and turning away from a lot of fleshly sins and being freshly filled with the Spirit and zeal for God just exploding in our midst in so many lives. And during that time, 82, 83, the burden began to rise in me like never before for revival, for awakening. As I read about great awakenings in American history, as I read about revival in other nations, my heart began to beat for that. And in the early spring of 1983, my heart got stirred afresh with a vision for revival. And I felt clearly in my heart that I was going to be part of a revival that would literally touch people around the world, that I would literally be part of it, be right in the middle of it, and that it would touch people around the world. It was so real to me that I freely shared it with my friends. Just as I feel compelled with you today to talk about moral and cultural awakening and moral and cultural reformation and revolution when it seems utterly hopeless in this generation in America, I felt compelled and just overflowing in me to share with friends, I'm going to be in the midst of a revival that touches the world. I'm going to be in the midst of a revival that touches the world. And that became the consuming passion of my heart in prayer and fasting for God to get hold of me more deeply and for God to grant repentance and awakening to his church that would spread out and touch the world. And it became so consuming in my life that I fasted many, many days, and I would seek God for many, many hours, not trying to earn something, but just the desperation of my heart rising up to God. And at a certain point, when this goes on for years and years and years, well, I don't mean decades in this case, more like a decade plus, when it goes on long enough, you question yourself, did I really hear God? Did God really promise that to me? Well, maybe he did, and I've written books on revival and preached on revival, and that's the part I'll get to play, and God will use others. Maybe I did, and God did speak to me, but I missed the opportunity. I mean, your mind wonders, and yet those promises were so real in my heart. You say, how do you know? I just knew. I remember when I wrote the book, End of the American Gospel Enterprise, my first book on revival in 1989. I wrote it in an intensive three-week period. And I knew that I knew Leonard Ravenhill was going to write the foreword to it. He was the author of Why Revival Tarries. He didn't know me from Adam. At that point, he was 82 years old. And once I was sure in my heart he was going to write the foreword to the book, I questioned myself, is he even alive? Is he still alive? But I was sure about it. You say, how sure? I told the prospective publisher that was going to get the book out, Leonard Ravenhill is going to write the foreword to the book. I'd never met Leonard Ravenhill. He didn't know me from Adam. Little did I know he was backlogged for years and years and years with requests to write this and read this and endorse this. And as I got close to him the last 5 years of his life, he would have on his desk this massive pile of letters and manuscripts and things people had sent him that he could never get to. You'd come there a year later and the pile would be bigger, more things that he couldn't get to. But I knew he was going to write the foreword. I told a colleague of mine that was going to have me on his show to do radio interviews, Leonard Ravenhill is going to write the foreword to my book on revival, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. I remember Nancy said to me, did God speak to you that he's going to write the foreword? I said, he doesn't have to. It's all over me. I just know it. And sure enough, we were providentially connected. And sure enough, he wrote the foreword to the book, and we became very close friends the last 5 years of his life. And his influence in my life remains to this day. I'm indebted to him to this day for what he poured into me and the prayers he prayed for me and the example he set before me. I couldn't shake it. I'm going to be in the midst of a revival that touches the entire world. And lo and behold, in May of 1996, God called me to be right, front, and center in a revival that literally touched people from over 120 nations. It got to the point during these meetings where people would come for several years to be touched, to go back to their home country and home state, having freshly repented and turned to God. It got to the point where airport after airport around the world, as I'd be traveling, people would come running up to me and say, Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown, because that's how they knew me in the revival. Dr. Brown, my life was changed. My life was changed. There it was in Pensacola, Florida. My life was changed. I've never been the same. And we'd get letters from pastors and leaders around the world talking about God breaking out in their midst and lives being radically touched. And people who've been touched in that revival are now missionaries all around the world doing amazing exploits for God. Friends, the same God who promised that to me, that I'd be in the midst of a revival that would touch the world, is the same God for years that keeps stirring my heart that we're going to see a moral and cultural revolution, a moral and cultural reformation, a gospel-based reformation take place in America. Let me say it again. With man, it's impossible. It's utterly hopeless. But with God, all things are possible. I want to give you some up-close personal reflections on what I've seen with my own eyes when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today. It is January 21st of 2013. You may be listening on a delayed broadcast somewhere in the nation or online, but this is the day I'm broadcasting. I'm not focusing on the inaugurational ceremony of our president. I'm not focusing on this being the anniversary of Martin Luther King Day. I'm not focusing right now on tomorrow, the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. I'm focusing on Jesus bringing awakening and moral reformation to America. And I'm saying against what our natural instincts and evidence would tell us, I believe that God is going to do it. 866-348-7884. By the way, a total complete aside, during the break, I looked at some emails that came in, and there was one from Jews for Jesus. They are very clever, my friends at Jews for Jesus. The email says, "Procrastinators, please wait before opening this email," which made me want to click on it immediately. Very clever. Maybe I could come up with a way to get people to pray based on something like that. Friends, I was part of what some church historians have called the longest-running local church revival in American history. I'm talking about a phenomenon where people came from around the world and got online 12 hours before the doors opened, and then the service would be an hour after that, just to get a seat in the main building and not have to be in overflow. I'm talking about unsafe people waiting online 12 hours to get into a meeting, not even knowing why they were there and God saving them in the parking lot before they got into the meeting. I'm talking about bona fide revival and outpouring of the Spirit, the very thing that God had put in my heart that I would see with my own eyes. I saw, never got tired of it. The 4 years I was there, night after night for years, we were stunned. We were amazed. Night after night, you wanted to pinch yourself because you knew that you were in the midst of history. I came home from a meeting one night. I was so gripped and overflowing with what God had done. I just felt that I had to write it down. I said, "I've just come from the beautiful presence of the Lord from a night of," it's just like 2 a.m. "I've just come from the beautiful presence of the Lord from a night of glorious baptismal testimonies and incredible stories of wonderfully changed lives, a night of sovereign visitation, a night of deep, sweeping repentance, of radical encounters with the living God, of public acts of repentance, from young people throwing their drugs and needles into the garbage to old people discarding their cigarettes, a night of weeping under conviction and rejoicing in newfound freedom. A night when the Spirit fell upon the children in a side room until their intercession and wailing permeated the sanctuary. A night when Jesus was exalted in the midst of his church. Yes, I've come from the holy presence of the Lord in the Brownsville Revival on January 31st, 1997. The Spirit moved, the tears flowed, the Lord touched, the demons fled. This is what happens when revival is in the land. At the end of the night, amidst shouts of joy and victory, amidst the sound of the newly redeemed enjoying their first moments free from captivity, I turned to my dear friend, Evangelist Steve Hill, and said, 'We don't have to quote from the history books about revival. It's here. We're seeing it before our eyes.' Who can describe a night like this? Who can describe what it's like to be so caught up with God that heaven is virtually here and you can almost sense the sound of the judge knocking at the door? What can you say when young men come to the platform and begin to throw away their earrings and another wants counsel because he doesn't know how to remove his eyebrow ring and another tosses out his condoms while another throws his knife into the trash? What can you say? What can you say when 1,000 people respond to the altar call and stay there for 2 hours getting right with God? What can you say when the prayers you've prayed for your nation, prayers for the real thing, for genuine visitation, for bona fide outpouring, not hype, not sensationalism, not a superficial show, but an awakening of historic proportions, when those prayers are being answered before your eyes and you know that you know your country will be shaken, what can you say? What can you say when all you want is Jesus, when pleasing him is your total delight, when you just have to tell everyone about God's great salvation, when sin's sweetest temptation is utterly repulsive to you and you just can't find the words to express to the Lord how utterly wonderful he is, how he really is your all in all? What can you say at a sacred time like this? It is too precious to fully describe, too intimate to wholly communicate with mere human speech. Friends, that's what I wrote from the midst of the revival. And the promise I lived with for years that I would see revival and I'd be part of it and it would literally touch people from around the world, that promise then began to deepen into something else, that there would be a moral and cultural revolution in America as real as the civil rights movement that we saw a generation ago, and that by God's grace I'd get to be right in the thick of it. And then as the years went on, I'd think, man, you're crazy. You're crazy to think that way. But the more time I'd spend with God, the more the fire would burn. The more time I'd be alone in his presence, the more real these things would become. And at the same time, this parallel burden rose in my heart. And you will be on National Talk Radio. And you will be on National Talk Radio. Friends, some of the stations where I'm speaking to live right now, these were the stations that were on my heart over these years, and I journaled it. You say, well, anyone get on radio? Friends, I did not try to make this happen, number one. Number two, my schedule did not permit me to be on even an hour a week, let alone 2 hours live 5 days a week. And more importantly, our budget couldn't have even thought of it. Just to be on the radio for 4 months, if we had no other expense to pay, no staff, no office, no ministry, nothing. Just being on the radio for 4 months was more than our entire ministry budget 2 years ago. Friends, the fact that I'm on the radio is part of a witness to me and to you that we could really see God bring moral cultural awakening. Oh, I don't mean it's going to come through me in this broadcast. By God's grace, it'll certainly be a part of it, though. But I'm saying the same God who promised one will do the other. Would you believe God with me? Would you believe God with me? If you haven't signed up for our emails, our free emails, please go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, sign up so you can get these, find out about the latest articles and messages and free resources. And if you can stand with us for the one-time gift, I want to send you as my thank you gift a signed copy of my Revolution book, which is part of the promise. I'll share in that next hour. Part of the promise, the miracle behind that book. I'll send that to you free and postage paid for your gift of any size. That'll be my thank you gift, a signed copy of Revolution. And for everyone that can become a torchbearer, some of you have been listening to me daily for years now. If you can become a torchbearer, a monthly supporter, with a gift of at least $25 or more per month, we send you a new message every month. We give you free access to all of our online classes. We give you a 15% discount in our online bookstore. As we get to do webcasts at some point, you'll have free access to those as well. My special gift, it's kind of a collector's item. We still have some of these from the hardcover numbered printing of The Real Kosher Jesus, kind of a collector's item to get, not available for sale to the general public. I'll send you a signed copy of a numbered hardcover edition of The Real Kosher Jesus as my thank you gift. If you become a torchbearer today, call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Let's be part of this revolution together. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, just as David could testify before tackling Goliath, that the Lord who delivered him from the lion and the bear would deliver him from Goliath, I'm saying the God who promised that I would be part of revival, and I have been, has promised moral and cultural revolution in America. Is it possible to have a real, sweeping, moral, cultural reformation in America? I say the answer is absolutely yes.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is a joy to be with you today, January 21st, 2013. Our nation is focused on the inauguration of our president. I pray for our president, but that's not where my focus is. My focus is on someone far more important and great, namely King Jesus. Yes, it's Martin Luther King Day. Some of what I'm going to share ties in with that, but my focus is on what I believe is a promise from the Lord that we can see in our generation a sweeping moral and cultural reformation. What's impossible with man is possible with God. What seems outlandish, what seems completely out of the question, what seems utterly ridiculous, by God's grace, is something we can see and experience. 886-348-7884. What do you think? In your gut, do you agree with me or do you disagree? What did I say? I gave the number wrong, Joey? 866-348-7884. I said 886. Are you serious? After all these tens of thousands, how many times have I said it? Figure out how many times I've said it. But that's why we pay you the billions. Yeah, that's why we pay you the big bucks, Joey, to be my ears here. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to encourage you with part of my own story. I want to encourage you with part of my own testimony. And the fact that you are listening to my voice right now on radio, if you're listening on WTBN or TWD in Tampa, if you're listening on WNIV in Atlanta, if you're listening on WCRU in Charlotte, or WFTK in Durham, or WTRU in Greensboro, or any of the other stations where we're on right now. If you are listening to my voice, part of the fact that I'm on the air, part of the reality that comes as I'm on the air is that this is part of a bigger promise. In other words, I've felt for many, many years now that the same Lord, the same God, put in my heart that I would experience certain things in my 41 years in the Lord, that gave me certain promises that were so real to me, I could stake my life on them. And I've seen some of them fulfilled, some in large measure, some partially, but unmistakably fulfilled in some measure so far. That same God put within my heart over a decade ago that I would be part of a moral and cultural reformation in America. What seems so hopeless given the deterioration of the family and the backsliding of so much of the church and the moral malaise of our society and the moral corruption of so much of the media, what seems utterly hopeless in the natural is not hopeless with God. And as God laid on my heart over the years, that I would be part of a moral and cultural reformation, at the same time he laid on my heart, it went hand in hand. In fact, I knew it was part of it, and you will be on national talk radio. If you knew the whole story of how we got on the radio and how this came knocking at our door rather than me knocking at its door, and how God helped launch us and how God has supplied our needs to be on the air, you'd step back and say, wow, it really seems like the Lord has done this. And this was not just a matter of some big ministry making it happen. Anything but that. It's been the grace of God. Then just hearing my voice on the air every day should encourage you. Could be. Maybe there really will be a sweeping moral and cultural revolution in America. Maybe a Jesus-based reformation really is going to happen. Stay with me. Your heart will be encouraged today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I hear those words repeated often, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. And, you know, I take that very, very seriously. I take that not just as a radio announcer setting up a show. I take that as a calling. I take that as a privilege. I take that as a sacred responsibility. 866-348-7884. I'm going to share some of my personal witness with you in a moment. But first, I posted this question on my personal Facebook page, which has been full. You know, you only have a 5,000 friend limit there. Full for a long, long time. And then on my Ask Dr. Brown page, which is the one to go to, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And everything I post there also gets tweeted immediately onto our Twitter account, Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. But I posted this question: in your gut, do you genuinely believe that we can see a radical gospel-based moral and cultural reformation in America in this generation? Here's some of the comments. My gut says no. What I think will happen is that the wheat will be separated from the chaff, and that will be the reformation of the real church. But in secular general culture of America, no. That was Arturo. Sean, no, not at all. But I believe that God's remnant believers will shine like the sun. Ryan, I believe the American limb of the body of Christ is, generally speaking, lazy and unmotivated. Our eyes are blind, our ears are deaf, our hearts have stopped. Ron, I'm saddened by the president's speech today and see just how far from God we are. My gut says no. However, I will do whatever I can while he grants me another breath. On and on. Comments of some who are very, very skeptical, and I understand why. Jane, Jesus said that we would have tribulation in this world. I say no, but we're to be out there proclaiming the gospel. Jason, no way. David, I have mixed feelings on this. And this is person after person who's really questioning whether we will see a moral and cultural reformation. James, in a word, no. If anything, it'll continue to worsen, and it's just not an American issue. Jonathan, yes, but not without serious persecution. Christopher, no. Patrick, in one word, no! Double exclamation point. America's gone too far over. We don't need God, Cliff. I'm just waiting for the sound of the trumpet while still working for him. Nathan, no! Triple exclamation point. These are the beginning of sorrows of the last days. I asked a question asking for honest answers, and I appreciate those honest answers. In other words, to everyone who posted and said in their gut they feel the answer is no, I appreciate them posting that. I don't see that as faithless, unbelieving, because there is not a specific scriptural promise that I can call people to believe. There's not a specific scriptural truth that I can say, hey, it's written. You have to believe this. But I want to be a faithful witness and put out this possibility before you, that even though we could give all of the reasons why a sweeping moral, cultural revolution in our society, this generation, is out of the question or hopeless or ridiculous. In other words, it would be like looking at an avalanche going down the mountain and saying, yeah, it's going to turn and go back up. Well, no, it's not. It's like looking at a flood coming in, devastating a country, and say, well, it's going to flood through but have no lasting effect. No, it's not true. But God. Let me tell you, friends, some of why I believe what I believe today. I've been following the Lord now 41 years, since the end of 1971, when I was a 16-year-old heroin-shooting, LSD-using, rebellious Jewish teenage rock drummer. Jesus, who radically saved me then, began to work radically in my life. And over the years, I had the privilege of teaching in different schools. 1982, I began teaching some classes for Korean students who were training for full-time ministry in New York City. A year after that, I began teaching full-time at Christ for the Nations. This was a Bible institute that had opened on Long Island, and I began teaching there full-time, was there from 83 to 87, and then would visit back and teach until 91 when the school closed. Went from there and began to lead another school from 87 to 96, a school in Maryland that focused on training Messianic Jewish leaders and those that would be involved in Messianic Jewish ministry. We ministered to the body as a whole, but had a special focus on Messianic Jewish training. It was called Messiah Biblical Institute and Graduate School of Theology. That was from 87 to 93. And the biggest that any of these schools ever were was 60 to 70 full-time students. We would have night classes, and I could see as many as 120 or 150 people even come and sign up for an eight-week night class in Maryland. We had some good turnouts for night classes on Long Island, but the largest the schools ever were was maybe 60, 70 full-time students. And then in 93, I gave the leadership responsibilities of the school over to others in Maryland, and I couldn't shake this conviction. Even when I had given the school over and I was no longer leading a school. And I said to one of my dear friends and colleagues then who was involved in the school with me, I said, I'm going to raise up a school and we're going to send thousands of radicals to the nations. You say, where'd that come from? Man, you're just full of pride. No, it had nothing to do with me. It was a sense of divine destiny. Look, I was reading an article that was sent to me today about the quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers on his way to the Super Bowl. And what, he was in fourth grade or something like that, and people were noticing his athletic abilities. And wasn't fourth grade he wrote a note to himself that he's going to be an NFL quarterback? Didn't our president, when he was a boy in Indonesia or something outlandish like that, write that he was going to be the president of the United States one day? There are things where people just know it. So what I'm saying comparatively is nowhere like being the president of the United States or playing in the NFL. But it was something very deep inside of me that I, as sure as I knew my name, it was real. I'm going to raise up a school and we're going to send out thousands of radicals. What do you mean by radicals? I mean, real believers, people really sold out to Jesus. People saying, I don't care the cost or the consequence. I want to be a disciple. I want to go out there. I want to make a difference. I want to be a world changer. That I was going to raise up a school and we're going to send these people out. And I would say it while we had our school in Maryland, our small school in Maryland. And then after I gave the school over to others and was no longer leading it, I'd still say it. And we often thought, as I was preaching many times in New York City in those days and involved with a key church in the city, that we'll raise it up in New York City, we'll do it in New York. And that never happened. It never seemed to be an open door from the Lord to go to New York and do that. And then, out of the blue, God relocates us to Pensacola, Florida, in the midst of a revival. I talked about that in the last hour, being in the midst of that stuff that would literally take your breath away. When you saw people coming from around the world hungry and thirsty for God, when you'd hear testimonies like someone comes from Germany over to Pensacola, some new ager, some spiritual seeker, they hear this voice telling them, go to Pensacola and you'll find God there. And they travel from Germany to Pensacola, Florida, and they get to Pensacola, Florida, they check in at the hotel, they don't even know what they're doing there yet. Is anything spiritual going on in the city? Well, every hotel in the city had maps to the services, the church services, because people came in by the hundreds of thousands to attend and show up at the service and here's the gospel, here's about Jesus, and gets radically saved. I mean, we saw these things happening day and night, these amazing stories of God's work and God's intervention and people being brought to repentance and faith. I get called to be in the midst of it. And as soon as I'm there, in May of 1996, God begins to speak to me about raising up laborers and sending them out for the harvest. And a few weeks later, lays on my heart that I need to tell the other leaders there, we need to raise up a school. We need to raise up a school of ministry, that it's something we must do in the midst of this revival. And it's something that God's sending me to do. And part of me was excited because I thought, what an opportunity. We're in the midst of a move of God, thousands of people getting saved, tens of thousands coming from around the world being touched, hundreds of thousands being touched. And think of what could happen with a school in the midst of this setting where people are ready to go for it and give their lives for the gospel and give their lives for the nations. Another part of me said, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm free from school-related responsibilities now. There's so many things you have to carry when you're leading a school. But I knew it was the Lord, and the leaders knew it was the Lord. And next thing, we raise up a school. Friends, I believe it was the fastest-growing ministry school in American history. I don't have full documentation on it, but I'm pretty sure, as I've read and checked on things historically, we started with 120 students our first semester, went over 600 our second semester. 1 year later, we were over 1,000 full-time students. Within 2 years, more than 1,000 full-time students. 2 years after that, so in our fourth year of existence, we already had missionaries serving in 25 nations. That same God that promised that to me has spoken to me about a moral and cultural revolution.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I want to encourage your heart right now. I want to encourage your heart as a witness. I want to encourage your heart as someone who is a realist and a believer. I'm not sticking my head in the sand in terms of the condition of America. Come on, friends, if you listen to this show, you know you hear more about moral rot and spiritual compromise in America from this microphone than on most other stations and most other broadcasts. In other words, we're going to tell the truth. We're going to say that the patient is deathly ill, but I believe that God is going to do something for the patient. I'm talking about America. 866-348-7884. So I had this deep sense for years that I would be used by God to raise up a school that would send out thousands of radically committed believers to the nations. And even though there was nothing in the natural that showed that was going to happen, even though there was nothing in the natural that gave any hope of that happening, even though realism would tell me, hey, you'll see certain numbers of students and they'll be good committed students, but you know, you're talking dozens more than you're talking thousands. Even though that's what my mind and experience told me, God had put this vision in my heart. Oh, it's not done yet. We've seen part of it, but it's not done yet. So by God's grace, we raise up a school of ministry in the midst of a revival in Pensacola, Florida. Within 2 years, we clear 1,000 full-time students. 2 years after that, we have grads serving as missionaries in 25 nations. In this coming year, by God's grace, we have grads who will be planting full-time ministry schools, sister schools to Fire School of Ministry, full-time ministry schools in countries like the Netherlands, where moral and spiritual decadence there are even ahead of moral and spiritual decadence in America. A country like Cameroon, where in Africa, where the building they're looking at, they said they'll have to limit students to 500 total enrollment for the first year. Well, it remains to see how many will be there, but they're expecting they'll have desire for more students than that. Where one of our students, one of our grads that was in that very school that by God's grace we raised up in Pensacola, he has seen, he's 30 years old, he has seen more than 8 million Africans in public meetings profess faith in Jesus and write out, yes, I want to follow Jesus and be part of a local church. I remember meetings that we'd have in the school, chapel services that were so intense. One in particular is very, very precious, very, very sacred to me. As I think back to it, my eyes literally tear up. We would have some additional chapel services the first week as classes would start up, two semesters each year and then some summer classes. And this one particular day, as we had students from more than 34 nations in the school, this one particular day, I called up the students from the different nations and I said, all right, in our chapel service today, I want you to lead in prayer for your nation. And I want you to pray in your native language. If you're from England, obviously you pray in English. But if you're from Mexico, then I want you to pray in Spanish. If you're from the Netherlands, I want you to pray in Dutch. If you're from Japan, I want you to pray in Japanese. I just want you to pray in your native language so that you can do it freely. And even though most of us here won't understand the words you're saying, and someone would pray in English then in their native language, I said, I want you to have full expression so you can pray. And then we can hear that language and hear that cry. And I remember this particular service, it was just overwhelming. It was overwhelming to hear student after student get up and take the mic. And some of them were so overcome with a burden for their nation. Some of them, the nations they come from, have less than 0.5% of their population saved. And they would take the mic and begin to weep and wail for their country and their native language. I remember some of them just couldn't speak when they got up to pray. They were so overcome with the burden for their nation, they just began to wail and sob. You know, the kinds of things you see in Scripture, people crying out, people so burdened, people so brokenhearted. It was just sacred. That's one of the reasons I went to some of these nations, just hearing the people pray. I remember in the midst of a very intense schedule that we squeezed in 48 hours in Japan. I believe I spoke 7 times in the 48 hours, something like that. We squeezed it in the midst of another trip and had these 2 days in Japan, 48 hours from when I arrived to when I had to leave. And what got me there was the spiritual hunger of some of the Japanese students in our school of ministry, a good number of them ministering actively and effectively in their country in Japan right now. It was sacred. It was indescribable. Now, our school here in North Carolina that was birthed in Pensacola and then years later moved here to North Carolina is a small but growing school right now. Our total student enrollment with full-time, part-time is, I don't know, maybe 150 students. But we have quality men and women hungry and thirsty for God. And they're going out to the nations, and they're making a difference. You know, our team in the Philippines alone, if you count all the men, women, and children, grads from our school that are serving in the Philippines alone, I think it's close to 50 people that are actually over there, and they are making a difference from the poorest of the poor to you name it, making an impact for Jesus in the society. Friends, the same God who laid on my heart that I would raise up a school that would send out thousands of radicals to the nations. That same God has been speaking to me for years that I'm going to be part of a moral and cultural reformation in America. You say, well, that's nice for you. No, forget me, forget me. That means it's going to happen. No, I can't guarantee this. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just telling you, I believe it, even though all the evidence says it won't happen. And that same God who laid on my heart that I'd raise up a school that would send out thousands of laborers to the nations, and we've done that in part so far, that I'd be part of a revival that would literally touch the world. We've seen that happen, friends. I was in the midst of that for several years in Pensacola. Also laid on my heart that is this part of this moral and cultural reformation in America, that I'd be on national talk radio, daily talk radio, some of the very stations where I'm speaking to you right now. I had this vision and burden for years, and I did not pursue this to make it happen. God brought it to us, and he's been enabling us to do that. Friends, be encouraged. Next half hour, I want to talk to you about how the Revolution book came to pass. It'll minister to you. But your gift of any size today, I want to send you a signed copy of my Revolution book. And if you can become a monthly torchbearer, standing with us for at least $25 or more per month, you get a new message sent to you every month. You get free access to our online classes. You get a discount in our online bookstore as well, 15%. I also want to send you, this is a collector's item, we still have some of the numbered first edition hardcover copies of The Real Kosher Jesus. I want to send you a signed, numbered copy as my thank you gift if you become a monthly supporter at Torchbearer today. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 9978, or you can go online, go to AskDrBrown.org, just click on support there, or call 1-800-278-9978. Things may look dark in the natural, but God's light is still shining.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Are you listening to me right now on, well, maybe AM 1220 WHKW in Cleveland, or maybe AM 560 WFIL in Philadelphia? Maybe you're listening to me on AM 590 in Richmond. Maybe you're listening to me in, 105.7 FM WBZK in Rock Hill, or FM 97.7 WZBR in Winston-Salem. Can I tell you the very fact you're listening to my voice on the air right now, WNIV in Atlanta, the very fact that you're hearing my voice on the air right now should give you hope that there could be a moral and cultural revolution in our lifetime here in America. You say, why exactly is that? Well, stay with me, and I'll make it clear. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. It is Inauguration Day, but we're not focused on that, but we pray for our president and his administration. It is the celebration of Martin Luther King Day. Tomorrow, 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. It's a very intense week. I don't know how you feel, but it feels like a very, very intense, weighty week to me. Because of that, I had it on my heart to stand as a witness, to bear witness today, and to tell you why, against natural inclination and against the evidence that I see so clearly, why I still believe that I will be part of a moral and cultural reformation in America, as real as the civil rights movement that Dr. King championed and helped pioneer. I believe, against all natural hopelessness, that there will be a moral and cultural reformation in America, and that I will get to be part of it, which means you can get to be part of it too. 866-348-7884. You know, in an hour and a half so far, I've taken one call total, and I told Johnny at the phones today, I don't plan on taking many calls. However, if you want to weigh in, the phone lines are open, and I may take some calls in this last half hour, 866-348-7884. The question that I posted on Facebook earlier today, and I would say the majority of answers I've gotten have been negative. They have been no. The question I asked was this: in your gut, do you genuinely believe that we can see a radical gospel-based moral and cultural reformation in America in this generation? Can I tell you that if not for what I've experienced in my own life, and if not for what I believe God has promised me in my own life, that I would be totally skeptical and that I would say I don't think so either. And yet, I believe I'm going to see it. In the 41 years that I've been in the Lord now, there have been certain things that have become a part of me. They become part of my very being. They become so real to me that I can't imagine living without these realities. Some things that God has promised me that I've actually seen and lived out. Much of what I do in ministry today, I felt when I was a newer believer. It would be so consuming, some of these callings and burdens. And look, I remember feeling the calling to write when I was a fairly new believer. And yet that was nothing we ever talked about in the church, you know, God using you to write books or things like that. I felt a calling, and yet for 17 years, I felt no release. I could write technical scholarly stuff that would confuse me after I wrote it. I didn't even know what I wrote. But to write the way I preach, simple and clear and direct, I couldn't get more than the page before it would bog down. And then suddenly in the 18th year, the floodgates opened. And one book after another book was written, End of the American Gospel Enterprise, How Saved Are We? Whatever Happened to the Power of God? It's Time to Rock the Boat. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. Book after book began pouring out of me, and people were deeply impacted as I read it. I knew it. I carried it for years. Friends, I want to share more of my personal story with you. I believe it will encourage your heart today.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I stand here as a witness. My number one authority, the Word of God, what God has said, what is written, and that is ultimate, and that is absolute, and that is non-negotiable. Once we understand what God has said, we believe it and obey it. End of subject. And then there's the testimony of our own lives, the things we have seen, the things we can bear witness to. It's an important part of our faith, bearing witness, testifying. That's what I'm doing on the air today. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. 866-348-7884. I will take some calls, but before I go to the phone, let me tell you the story of my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War. It's about to come out in ebook form as Revolution, the Jesus Call to Change the World. My heart had burned for years for revival. God had promised me, spoke to me in my own heart in 83, early spring of 83, that I would be part of a revival that would touch the world. It was an undeniable reality to me. I knew that it would happen. And then as God began moving in different places, 93, 94, I began hearing reports of God moving. I wrote a book called Time for Holy Fire. Its current title now is Time for Holy Fire. I wrote this book. It came out in March of 95. I was convinced that something was out at the door, ready to break in America. March of 95, the closing words of the book, which is a call to repentance and a promise of revival, the closing words of the book after describing what real revival looks like, closing words, are you ready? And 3 months later, revival broke in a city in Florida. 11 months after that, God called me to be part of that revival, to raise up a school of ministry that continues today as Fire School of Ministry, that continues to raise up and send out laborers to the nations by God's grace and continues to make an impact locally and in other parts of America. Here I am in the midst of a move of God that I've dreamed about for years. Every week as we'd come together for the services, there'd be Tuesday night prayer meeting with maybe 1,500 people attending, and then all of us would be there Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, meetings 5, 6, 7 hours each night, God moving in massive repentance, thousands of people turning to the Lord, hundreds of thousands of people being touched, just an amazing thing to witness. Every week we'd come together and you wanted to pinch yourself. You could hardly believe that you were part of something you dreamt about, part of something you talked about for years and prayed for and cried out for and fasted for. And in the midst of that, the late 90s, in the midst of being in this outpouring of the Spirit where your vision is so large and you can believe God for anything, it seems, and you're getting testimonies from the high schools in the neighborhood about how God's moving. And I sat down with the superintendent of high schools in late 97, and he told me about the effect that the revival had had on schools in his county, that he had seen them when he'd been a principal. He saw it with his own eyes, students being radically changed and touched. And now, in the midst of that, my heart begins to burn. And I believe God starts stirring my heart, there's going to be a moral and cultural revolution. Not the way earthly revolutions are fought, not hatred, anger, intimidation, violence, no, none of that, a Jesus revolution. God's people so radically changed by the gospel that they literally go and change their world. Well, the burden starts to rise in me, moral cultural revolution. This vision starts to rise in me. You'll be part of it. You'll be in the thick of it. Just like you're in the midst of revival now, you'll be in the thick of a moral and cultural revolution in America, just as surely as there was a movement, a civil rights movement in America, an anti-segregation movement, an equal rights movement for blacks in America that Dr. King helped champion, that you're going to see a moral and cultural revolution in America, and you're going to get to be part of it. So real to me. And I got stirred to write a book, Revolution. Revolution. Now you have to understand, in those days, my schedule in the midst of revival was gloriously intense, to the point of between 80 and 100 hours a week spent in some type of ministry activity, be it being in the revival services, be it teaching in day sessions, be it teaching and leading our school, be it traveling and preaching, be it writing, that 80 to 100 hours a week were involved in intensive ministry work. And the idea of writing a book in the midst of this was challenging. I was doing writing, but it was challenging to write with daily focus because of the intensity of the daily schedule. Well, the last 2 weeks of 99 and the first 4 weeks of 2000, a six-week period, I got stirred to write the book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. The e-book that's about to come out will be entitled Revolution, the subtitle, The Jesus Call to Change the World, the exact same book. Six-week period, over 300 pages. I mean, I wrote with intensity. I wrote with the force of just being driven in a holy and glorious way. I write the book, and I think, why did I write the book so quickly? It must be because we're supposed to get it out quickly. And then I got this brainstorm. We need to introduce the theme of Jesus Revolution at Christian booksellers. This is just a thought I had. I had done a book signing or two in previous Christian booksellers events, thousands and thousands of book dealers and authors and others coming from around the country for this event, Christian leaders. I thought, that's it. We'll do a presentation on Jesus Revolution. I'll do a public meeting and teach and preach on this. I'll do a book signing. We'll get the book out. That'll be June, something like that. And I call a publisher. I'd worked with a number of publishers at that point, felt to call this one particular publisher. And I said, how about it? What do you think? We'll get the book out, and then we'll do a presentation at Christian booksellers. And this is maybe like February or something. And they said, listen, Mike, all those slots are completely taken. They said, first, we could never get the book out that quickly. Never. They said, second, all those slots, those were set months and months ago. I thought, wow, that's odd. And why did I write so quickly? And they said, well, there is this... They come back to me and they said, well, we can get the book out September 1st. I thought, so who cares about September? Why September 1st? You know how I felt, honestly? I felt like someone who drove to the airport 80 miles an hour to pick someone up on the plane that was not going to be arriving for 6 hours. I felt like I sprinted home from 2 miles away only to find out that I wasn't needed for another day. I mean, what? Why write day and night for 6 weeks to get it out September 1st? What's so sacred about September 1st? And then the publishers I was talking to, they said, isn't there this youth event in D.C., this big youth event, The Call? It's like, that's it. That's it. That's why I wrote it the way I wrote it, to get it out at The Call event in D.C. Now, the organizers had been told, these are friends of mine, they had been told that because they had just started in January of 2000 for the September 2nd event in 2000, that the biggest crowd they could possibly see organized gathered would be about 50,000 people. Well, through a friend, God speaks to my heart. He gets this challenge. I feel it's God. We're going to give away. We're going to print 100,000 books to give away at this event in D.C. You say, well, 100,000 books. That's retail value. That's $1.3 million of books. Even at a great discount from the publisher, you're talking $400,000 or $500,000 of books. I owed the publisher something like $12,000 at that point. What? Well, my friend says, well, we'll print and give away 100,000 copies on that day. The organizers think max they can even get is 50,000. That's what they're told anyway. But we get this vision. And my friend says, let's believe we can get this book printed for 80 cents a book. I said, crazy, 80 cents a book. I said, it's going to sell for $13 and change, and that's a good price. It's 300 pages. He said, let's believe we can get it for 80 cents a book. Well, do you know when I talk to the publisher, they catch your vision to do this, and they come back to me. They said, Mike, we found a way. No one makes any profit on this, but we found a way. Cut everything to the bone. We can print this for 80 cents a book plus shipping. What? 80 cents a book? Well, the only problem is, where are you going to get $80,000 from you don't have? Well, I went to a planning meeting in June of that year, and we were already planning. We were going to bus our students up there when school started. You know, it was going to be right before that we started in August, and we're going to bus our students up there. We had 1,100-something students, and I told our guys we're going to bring at least 500, which is completely outrageous, but I knew we were going to do it. I knew we were going to do it. Do you know I met a stranger at that meeting that I went to in D.C., a planning meeting for the event, and even though he had no money, he said, I will give you the $80,000, and you know, he came up with the money. And you know, on that day, there were 300,000 people there, mainly young people, the largest gathering of Christian young people in American history to pray and fast from dawn till dusk, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And do you know that there were 100,000 books printed, marked Revolution on the Mall in D.C., just where inauguration is taking place? They were printed. They were there that day. And we gave away over 70,000 copies that day. There was an announcement, only one per family initially. We gave away over 70,000 copies that day. And as sure as we stood there, we had over 700 students take a 22-hour bus ride from Pensacola to be there. 22 hours each way. As I stood there and looked out at that crowd, I knew what God was saying. You're going to see it. You're going to see it happen. There's going to be a moral and cultural revolution in America. Friends, it makes no sense in the natural, but I believe God.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, before I go to the phones, let me just give you the rest of the punchline of the story. Friends, the same God who moved on me to write Revolution, the same God who stirred my heart to believe him to print and give away 100,000 copies of the book, The same God who spoke to me that I would see moral and cultural revolution in my lifetime. Obviously, there are conditions. Will people respond? Will God's people turn? But this is what I believe. This is what I'm proclaiming. As I prayed over the years and God would out of the blue move on me, stir me again, revolution, revolution, moral, cultural reformation through the gospel, through the principles of Jesus, through the gospel. We also stir me, and you're going to be on national talk radio. You're going to be on national syndicated talk radio. Friends, some of the very stations we're on nationally, these are things that God spoke to me about years ago. You say, yeah, but others are on the air. Friends, you don't know how we got on the air. You don't know the miracle that we're even on the air. And again, it tied in with a promise to me about moral and cultural revolution. So as you hear my voice speaking, that's part of a deposit, part of a down payment, part of God saying, hey, I did this. Can you believe me for the rest? What do you say? Will you believe God with me? Will you believe God with me? Before I go to the phones, everyone that sends in a gift of support, if you can help, if you believe in what we're doing, if you want to partner with us for moral and cultural reformation in America through awakening in the church, your gift of any size today, I'll send you a free copy of that very Revolution book that I mentioned. And I believe it'll light a fresh fire in your heart as you read it. So your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, I'll send you a signed copy of the Revolution book. If you already have one and just wanted to give to someone else, still stands. Your gift of any size, this will be my thank you gift to you. Also, if you can become a torchbearer each half hour, I've mentioned this. If you can stand with us as a torchbearer, maybe you've been blessed by this ministry for years, now's the time to partner with us. Your gift of $25 or more per month, we will send you a free copy of every month we send you a free new message. We give you free access to all of our online classes that others have to pay to take. You get for free. You get a 15% discount on our online bookstore. And today, we have several of these collector's items left. That they are numbered copies of the first printing of The Real Kosher Jesus in hardcover. Folks spent a lot of money to get those initially to help us get the book published in hardcover. We have some of those remaining. I want to send you a signed, numbered copy of The Real Kosher Jesus today. If you become a torchbearer, that'll be my special thank you gift to you for standing with us. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go through our website if that's easier for you. But do it today. AskDrBrown.org. And just click on support. All right, let's go to the phones. Dan in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you, Michael. I want to, in answer to your question of whether we believe whether I believe there can be an awakening. I don't know if there will be. I don't know the future, but there certainly can be. And the main reason I called, Michael, is because there's a very common, it's almost like a contagion of negative thinking and grumbling among Christians that is totally unrealistic about how bad they think the situation in America is so bad. And I want to back that I've been studying history constantly for about 20 years of my life. I mean constantly, a lot of that church history. And the fact is that we Christians are in one of the best situations we have ever been in all of history. Mm. Our resources, our books, our printing, our freedom. You're listening, my brothers and sisters listening, you can go right out today and talk to people about the gospel and preach, and you're not going to be arrested or killed or persecuted. You've got Bibles. Our brothers and sisters for 2,000 years, they didn't even have Bibles. They were in cultures where nobody even knew how to read or write. Yep. You've got one of the best situations right here in America. And I hear you're wrapped in cotton like a bunch of babies. I hear people whining and crying, oh, it's the worst it's ever been, you know. Well, that's a lie. And we need to repent of, you know, Michael, in the Old Testament, how angry God was at all that grumbling of the children of Israel. I'm sure you could preach on that.
In fact, I have. And Dan, I got to interrupt you here. You're on a roll, but I'm short on time. I want to get to one more call, but Dan, you're exactly right. Now, look, things are in a horrific state. Tomorrow, Roe v. Wade, that's 40th anniversary of abortion on demand in America. 55 million babies killed in the womb, and it's still here, as Francis Schaeffer said, by the permission of the church. That's why abortion clinics are still operating in America as they are. But Dan's absolutely right. There have been far darker, worse times, and everything's at our access and disposal. It is right now, friends. No one can give an excuse to say that we didn't have the opportunity. Dan, thank you. Thank you, sir, for reminding us of that. I really appreciate it. We'll talk more. Just got to run today. Stacy in Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I am so encouraged by this because I believe the same thing, and just by the way God has taught me in the last 2 years, I've been a Christian for 12 years, and in the last 2 years, he has taught me a new way to relate to him and relate to his love and to abide in him. And that's where the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of good works comes from, is abiding in him. And I've seen it in so many other people around me, too, and I think that God is doing something in the American church.
Hey,
and
Stacey, I've just got to jump in. I apologize. I've only got a minute left. But look, I see widespread backsliding, apostasy, compromise in the body, and yet I'm convinced there's a remnant who's saying enough is enough and is determined to go after God. And in his presence, it's hard to doubt. In his presence, it is very hard to doubt, because you're looking at him, God, the faithful God. Thank you for the call, Stacy. Friends, stand with us. Stand with us. If you don't get our free e-blasts, updates, new articles, messages that are posted for free, please go to AskDrBrown.org right now and sign up. Just sign up for the email list. Take you 30 seconds or less. And if you're prompted to stand with us with a one-time gift, my gift to you, signed copy of Revolution. If you can become a torchbearer, our growing army of monthly supporters, we'll send you hardcover, signed copy of The Real Kosher Jesus, kind of a collector's item. But call right now, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, when you look at the circumstances around you in America, you say, there is no hope for this generation. When you look at God, you say, all things are possible.